All right, everybody. My little keyboard here has run out of batteries, and I've got this crazy drapey cord everywhere. All right, let's get the screens up. I have got y'all the biggest hair floating right around my face. It's driving me absolute ass clown crazy. Oh, it's driving me nuts. Selena, you're gonna go first. If you want to get coaching, you just need to raise your hand and we will get to it. So we've got Selena and we got Raquel with her hand raised. So anybody else who's going to want coaching today, make sure you raise your hand so I can pace the call. All right, Selena, let's get you unmuted.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. What can I coach you on?
Okay. So I knew that I needed coaching, but I didn't realize what the topic was going to be for today. But the topic fits me perfectly because in 2022, I did get BSG surgery. So I said, I guess it's a sign for me today.
Okay.
It's been not quite 2 months for me as far as joining the program. So even
Okay.
when I got the surgery, I joined other weight loss groups with people who had got the surgery as well. And even then, I was just like, I lost weight slowly. And I mean, I know that I'm a tall girl. Even to me, I still deal with body dysmorphia. So it took a long time for me to see the weight loss. So luckily for me, I did have diet mentality and I haven't gained any weight. The body recomp is changing because during this past summer, I tried to get rid of the diet mentality because I felt like it was just driving me crazy, insane with the numbers, the working out, and all that other type of stuff. And then I was finally able to get help because I wasn't feeling well. My white blood count cells were low, and I was working with my doctors, and that didn't help. And I went to a holistic doctor, and now I feel great. So now I'm ready to tackle this the way that I need to. I still feel like even when I was on the surgery, before the cycle comes on, like I'm just gaining the same weight all month, every month, just back and forth. So it took a year and a half just to lose 5 pounds just to get to 199. So right now I'm going from 197, like from 195 to 199, stuff like that. So I go way to get to 180. I'll look on the Facebook group of No BS and I'm looking at other people's plans, like what are they eating? And to me, I still eat off of saucers. So I'm just like, even when with the surgery, it's just like, I know that you're eating a lot. And it's like, do you just have to eat much a burden of food? Like, I'm still gonna use the bed. Sometimes I'm just like, I feel like I'm eating enough. The water is great. The sleep is finally where it needs to be. I don't feel like I might not have to get 7 or 8 hours sleep, but my body wakes on its own. Even if I go to bed at 11, like I'm fine with that. And Monday through Friday, I get on the treadmill for just like 20 minutes, just because I didn't want it to be all about the exercise. I'm just trying to figure out like what's going on with the food.
Okay, so
So,
one thing is you're breaking up just a little bit. I just want to make sure I got all the information.
okay.
The main problem you're wanting to solve right now is how do I get off a stall, correct?
Yes.
I mean, I just want to make sure I'm accurate because I was just trying to pull out of all of this. It's like I'm bouncing basically 195 to 199. I want to get to 180. And right now, water is in check. Is that what you said?
Water's in check. That's 180. Like that's my goal. Really wanna. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I just want to make sure. Okay,
no,
can
you're
you hear
breaking,
me? Let
you're
me
cutting
see.
in and out really bad.
Okay, hold on.
It
Let me
started off
move
okay, and then it
else.
went to shit.
I move where else? I go outside. Okay, now.
No,
No.
it's just like try just standing still and see what happens.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, it was better inside for sure. Now you're completely frozen. Better. So let's try. So water's in check, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Have you tried sleeping 7 to 9 hours? Because sometimes when there are people who can be functional on less than 7 hours of sleep. But just because you're functional and don't feel like shit doesn't mean it's optimized for fat loss, repair, things. Like I forever I could go on 5 hours of sleep a night, sometimes four when I was, this was like 15 years ago. I rarely got more than 5 hours of sleep. And I was very functional, but I did not realize how good I could feel and how much better my body responded until I actually made myself get more sleep. So have you tried consistently getting in at least 7 hours of sleep?
I mean, I feel like most of the time it is 7. So even if I
Okay.
say if my day ends at 9, I try to be in the bed by 10. Like I
Okay.
can't force myself, but for the most part, from it may be from like 10:30, I'll say 11. Yeah, pretty much 11 to 7, 6:30.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was in check. And then now, when you've had surgery, things are a little bit different with your body. So we can use somewhat of wait for hunger and stop it enough, but you also have to realize that when your body has been actually altered, your signals and your stuff is just different than someone who has not had an altered stomach. Same thing with like if people are on medication or GLP-1, it's just like when people take steroids. You know, it's like your body is altered by steroids. Yes, you're going to have very increased hunger, but that's where you have to decide like, all right, I know this is the shot or the steroids. So that means I have to be patient when I know it's faux hunger, that kind of stuff. So, knowing that, if you had to guess, what do you think is keeping you from going from basically 195 to 180? If there was like just in your mind, what do you think is the blocker?
So let's just say, honestly, so I wrote on my calendar last month when I joined, No BS, that so around the 26th of the month. So maybe 2 weeks. So I'm gonna say 10 days out the month, it feels like I'm on steroids. So this is the time. Like it literally feels like I'm on steroids. But when that time is gone, that's when the weight loss is gone. So the rest of the time of the month, like everything can go smoothly. So around the
So, what's
25th.
happening during those 10 days of the month?
I don't know if that's the pre-cycle, but my cycles are very, very light. I had got, because I used to bleed really heavy, so I got something called NovaSure to lighten that up. But even when I had the surgery, it still felt like I was on steroids during that time, but it was just still less because my body was eating way less anyway. But
Okay.
now it's just, it feels like I'm on steroids. Like I can feel the day that it comes off. Like I can literally feel that.
Well,
So,
it's good to know. So the problem that we're having, got this hair, this face is driving me crazy. It's like up my nose and my mouth. During those 10 days, this is going to be mind management.
yeah, so I
This
wrote
is
something
where
down on
your
my calendar
body,
about that.
yeah, this is like during that 10 days, it's just, and everybody has these periods in life where for some women, it's during their periods. Some women, it's like perimenopause does this. For some reason, it's menopause. For some people, it's during grief periods. For some women, it's, you know, like there's a period of time where you go into seasonal depression. Like I think one thing I would love for all of you to consider is that everyone has periods of time where weight loss is just going to be harder for you. This is yours. So yours is 10 days a month. My body is going into pre-period stage and it is going to ask for more food than it needs, probably for maintenance. And it also is going to ask for more food than it needs for weight loss. So, knowing that this is just what happens, that for 10 days, I am going to have radically increased desires to eat that I know do not help me lose weight. Now, what do I want to do? Or what is the solve?
But I'm looking for suggestions.
Well, first, I just want to see what we can get out of your brain because I can give you suggestions, but the problem is sometimes my suggestions, they're going to be a mismatch for your emotions, your thoughts, and your life. And that's why, like, I always like to start with first you giving me some suggestions to see where your brain naturally goes. And then that way I can tell, like, sometimes that spurs my own ideas of, like, oh, if you can do that, then we could also do this. And then sometimes I can tell that your ideas are coming from this belief that that shouldn't be happening to me, which people often think. And it's like, well, welcome to not losing weight. If you think that something that always happens shouldn't be happening, you're fighting a losing battle. That'd be like me saying, it shouldn't happen that I ever have to have a red light when I drive. Like, I'm the anomaly. I should always have a green light. And if I always did that, I would just live the rest of my life eternally frustrated because the state of Tennessee is not about to create one magic road for Corinne with no red lights.
Okay.
So,
So I'm
thank you.
happy that you glad you said that. So on the calendar, I wrote down the date and I was just like, okay, I just call it the steroid season. So even today, when I wrote down my plan, I just said, you're gonna just have to constantly just keep drinking water in between. Like, because I know it's not gonna go away. It's been going on for years. And luckily, like I mean, I do have a tool, you know, in my stomach, but I'm just like, something is happening here. So I did say I had to take just accountability where you just not gonna, you just had to stop yourself and just say no. So I did say I was just gonna be drinking more water, and I do have brewed tea that I make, and I'm just had to drink that throughout the day,
Well, and
just
I think that
refreshing.
that's great. And this is where my idea comes in. I think you absolutely do that, but I think you got to talk to yourself in a little bit different way about it. Because right
Okay.
now I'm getting this energy of you just have to, as if I'm resigning myself to some unfortunate situation, which just feels like ass. That just means for 10 days a month, you're going to sit around and just feel like, well, for 10 days a month, I mean, I can lose weight, but this is the shitty cards I've been dealt, which sucks. It makes it really hard. Like, cravings and urges, like you're already having natural ones that are just hormonal and biologically based. But if you ever want to take normal cravings and make them into screaming banshees who are going to demand to be fed and be relentless until you put food in your mouth, have a shitty thought on top.
Okay.
Just throw some crap on it, and then welcome to like urges that can't be faced down with water and tea. So, what I would say, you already had some good thoughts, which is I already have a tool that helps me through this period. I have a tube. That's a much better way of thinking about it. Like, when it's time, it's like, you're going to drink your water, and this is going to help the tube you have in you. You also can always tell yourself, I know exactly what's happening. Like, this has all been explained to me. This is normal for me. This is just like my brain is going to have a lot of requests for food during this time. And what will end up happening, if this will give you some hope, is that the first this month and next month, when you're trying more of just like this 10 days is all about, I'm going to drink my water. I'm going to drink my tea. I'm going to really understand that this is normal for me. I'm not going to like poo-poo it, argue it, think that it's not supposed to be happening, whatever's going on, right? By month three, the third time you do it, your brain relaxes into it. Your brain doesn't sit there and feel like it's unfortunate or that you shouldn't have to work this hard. Or whatever could come up around that. It's like all of that kind of fear, stress, anxiety, whatever goes on, that starts going away because your brain is now seeing, oh, during this time when I think I should be eating, she drinks water instead and she explains why this is happening and she's very rational. So I don't have to get so worked up over it. And then eventually you train your body during that time to where it just doesn't, I mean, it might still ask for food, but eventually, anytime you stop responding to cravings and things enough times, your body stops offering it because it thinks, oh, this is a new habit we're forming. I don't need the old habit. I need this new one because she keeps doing that over and over again, despite me arguing, and despite me asking, and despite me wanting. So then your brain kind of flips because the brain's job, literally, is to do what you do over and over and over again until you give it a better reason to do something else. And the better reason to do something else is combined with first, it notices when you do something different. It doesn't care how much you talk to it. It doesn't care how many positive thoughts you have. It doesn't care about your plans. It doesn't care about all your thinking around it. Your brain pays a lot of attention to when you actually act different. It's like, fuck me. I need to pay attention. I mean, if we're going to be doing something new, this is freaking me out. I don't know. Like, I've been working so hard to have this other pattern for so long. And like, it's like worrying, and it worries for nothing, but it pays attention. And then when you keep doing it, it starts sitting back and it starts watching and contemplating, huh? Maybe I should start doing this new thing because I don't want to be wasting my time. I don't like over here doing all this asking and arguing when you just keep doing this thing over here. Because the brain, ultimately, its one major desire is to conserve its energy. And so if you're doing something different repeatedly, your brain wants to make it a new habit because it wants to conserve energy. It does not want to fight you forever, but it fights you in the beginning because it's afraid that you're wasting energy. That you should be doing what I'm asking you to do. Shouldn't be doing this new thing. It doesn't care if there's a good reason. It just cares that you're changing gears. And so it argues for a little bit and then it gives up and says, all right, we're putting your new shit on habit because I'm a lazy fucker. I'm supposed to be over here conserving energy, and you keep doing this. And so, okay, fine. That's what we're going to do now.
It
So,
makes sense.
knowing
It makes
that,
sense.
yes. So, I just want you to try what you're doing. Is there anything else, though, that you can think of when it comes to your stall? If we were to spend this 10 days of the month not eating extra, even if you're not eating a ton, but you're just eating extra for you, if you don't spend those 10 days doing that and you kind of retrain your body and your mind and everything to be like, we're going to be okay. We don't have to eat anything because we're still losing weight. Is there anything else you think could be standing in your way?
So before I even started No BS, I was trying to understand intuitive eating and I could not understand what enough was and what balance was. So just recently, going down the rabbit hole of Harahachibu, I could understand that a little better. So now I kind of just eat in silence. When I eat in silence and feel the food, it does enough comes up faster. And so then you're just dealing with the psychological part of you don't want to just, you really don't want to stop or anything like that. But I mean, I feel like that happens more within the 10 days. So I'm starting to get a lot of epiphanies now, and I'm happy to be on the call today to kind of put all of this together and in perspective. And I am practicing now, like, let me just eat what I have here. If I'm hungry after 30 minutes, I'll just get another bite or two. But for the most part, if I just wait it out, like really it is enough. So I'm hoping, well, I'm praying. Well, I'm going to be doing the work, but we're going to see what happens in the next 60 days. So
Well, this is, I think you'll be fine. I do agree. Like, intuitive eating really just means thoughtful eating. It's really all it means. I think we get it confused with, well, I can eat everything I want. And like, there's a lot of things. Intuitive eating at its base just means think before you eat. Think while you eat and think after you eat. It's about thinking. So, if before you eat, asking, am I hungry? Why do I think I want this? We know what could all of this extra, like food noise be about during 10 days? That's thoughtfulness. Like, getting coached on this is you being exemplary. What word am I looking for? A good example. Let's not go fancy. Good example of thoughtfulness on the before. Then when we do the during, intuitive eating is a lot about what you just said, which is just pay attention while you're eating. Does it feel good in your body? Like, what's going on? What's changing? Are you starting to get to enough? Are you actually enjoying your food, or are you busy, We talk about a concept in No BS called mental restriction, which is where a lot of people end up overeating when during their eating, they're not thinking, they're letting their brain just kind of go. And their brain is going, I shouldn't be eating this. Like, you're blowing it. I know Corinne says you can eat whatever you want, but like your brain is kind of poo-pooing the whole time you're eating. And you're eating things that you think you should. Your brain is like, but I think I'm supposed to be enjoying this. Where's the joy? This seems like a real, like, just butt fuck. This doesn't feel good. And then it wants to eat more because it's like, well, more food then. Just give me more so I can have the joy. So we during the eating, we're listening for how are we talking to ourselves? How is our body feeling? Is this food that feels good in my body? Is this, am I actually getting the pleasure I would like to get out of this? Am I at enough? Like we're really just listening and paying attention. And then we do the thinking after, which again, you're like, how does my body feel now? What conversation am I having with myself? If I, am I creating a sense of I'm doing well, look at me, I'm doing new things, I'm getting better at this. At least I'm paying attention now. Is that conversation after and such helping me become what a true intuitive eater is, which is just someone who pays attention and makes the most of the experience.
And also, something else that I noticed, taking. Because before, like I need to have my food a certain way. Like the food has to be hot from beginning to the end. This is when I used to just eat really fast without thinking. But now that I take five deep breaths before I start and kind of slow that down, I can hear my mind racing, like, why are you trying to hurry up? Like, what feeling are you trying to get from getting the first bite? And like, what is that? That has nothing to do with the food. So when I finally made that connection, it was just like, okay, this is really not that serious. Like, I know I'm hungry, but what is the food actually doing? So, taking the five deep breaths before I start, sitting in silence, it's not even really as enjoyable. It's not doing what it used to do for me anyway. So, I was happy to make that connection as well.
Well, good. I think you're doing fine. I think you're doing just fine. You keep working on this 10 days, doing the things that you're doing, and just make a few tweaks on the like talking to yourself about it. I don't see you having a problem. If for
Yeah,
some,
I want to get to the Queen's Club.
well, if for some reason it continues to stall, then what we would want to do, because we got to fix all this first. It's really hard to look at someone's food and help you examine, like, well, maybe it's not enough, or maybe it's too much, or maybe you need a different mix. We got to start introducing some best foods at this point, whatever. I never like to do any of that stuff until we know 100% sure that you have cleaned up the mental stuff. When that stuff is, all on lock and you're just kind of doing the things and whatnot, sometimes there's refinements to be made. But they're never that deep and they're never that big. But most people want to start with, well, let me cut out my carbs and let me do this and let me do that. They want to start out with this hard shit and they haven't even looked at the obvious offenders yet. It's like, let's fix that first. And I think you're right on track.
Okay, I will keep you posted on the Facebook group. Thank you so much,
Good. Just tag
Joanne.
me. All
Yes, I
righty.
will. Thank
All
you.
right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's see. Raquel. Did I start that recording back? Yeah, okay. Lord, all of a sudden I thought I'd forgotten. Y'all, I am hot. It is hot in here today. So cold outside and so hot in here. Ooh. All right, Raquel, what are we coaching on?
Hi there. I was trying to take notes too so that I could express everything, and I feel like my mind is more jumbled than it was before I started writing my notes down. I've been in the program for since 2020 and tons of knowledge. The resources are incredible. I have an incredible support system. So I feel like I have a lot of external support. Where I struggle is actually kind of doing what I need to do to lose the weight. So I really, it's like bridging the gap between what I know like will help me and getting results. It's like I continue to overeat. I continue
You don't
to
have to
eat when
tell
I'm
me
not
that.
hungry.
Tell me why you
Sorry.
don't want to do the things. That'll be
don't.
real quick.
Okay, well, it feels like my want to is broken. I mean, I it's like if
Yeah, of
you would
course it is. Everybody's want to. Name me one person who wants to do weight loss. Tell me somebody. I'll
well,
wait.
then, but they are successful. And so
Not because they
how do
want
you
to. What
bridge
do
the
you think
gap?
is the difference? What do you think is the difference between somebody who's successful and you right now, and it has nothing to do with their want to being fresh from the factory?
Well, I guess that's why I'm not sure. Like, I don't know how to bridge that gap. Like, I
Don't
want to
need
lose
to
weight.
bridge a
It
gap.
consumes me. Okay.
You do not need to bridge a gap. I'm asking you one simple question. Just take a deep breath.
Okay.
I want you to think about someone who's success. Think about me.
Yes.
I was 250 in postpartum depression, like in the serious throes of it, contemplating leaving my husband and my child, crying every day, hating my life. Do you think my want to for weight loss was like fresh from the factory, plugged in and at 100%?
No,
Of
it's not a
course
magic.
not.
It's not magic.
No, it's not. What do you think was plugged in on the day that I decided to try something?
Willingness, like taking one step. I don't know, like willing to do the work. Okay, the way you're looking at me, oh my gosh.
I'm just going to let you have some guesses for a little bit. I just want you to
Okay.
talk because I think you're coming in where you have decided you know the problem. I think you don't know the problem at all. And if you think you know what your problem is, what ends up happening is you solve the wrong thing. And then you leave here even more frustrated because you try to start again from a plan based on the wrong premises. That will not work. So I'm just going to let you talk
Okay.
without you knowing what you think the problem is. So let's just pretend it's not a want to issue. Because if I had to decide, if I had to guess, Raquel, there's no way you would have paid me money since 2020 if you didn't want to lose weight.
Oh my gosh, it consumes my day.
Right. So your want to is not broken at all.
So then work to do the work. And that is what pisses me off, because I think if you were to ask me, are you a hard worker? I would 100% say yes. I show up at my job. I show up for my family. I show up for my friends. Like, I am a hard worker, but I want the food more. Like, I think I don't want to do what I need to do to lose the weight. I think I feel like
In
I
your
want the food more.
mind, okay, well, that's probably true because usually we're going to want the food more if what the food represents is the only break from all of that stuff you're doing for all of them. Like, if in your mind, if to lose weight, you have to give up food and food represents something that's your ability to keep giving to others, your ability to show up, your ability to be a hard worker, like. This is what gets me to be the person that I value and like literally look about like I'm a hard worker. If food for some reason might be, if I lose weight, you're taking away the one thing that allows me to be this person. You'll never want to lose weight. You'll want to lose weight, but you won't want to do the work. And you have to, what we've got to do now, which is what I wanted to figure out. I don't think this has a want issue. I think this is an issue of, in your mind, have you sorted out first what the food is doing for you? And number two, do you even know what the work really is? Because I have a feeling your definition of what you need to do is scary and nothing like I teach. Which is often what happens when people have been in the program a long time. You come up with a definition of what you think losing weight is going to be, and it's not fun. It doesn't improve your life. It's not something to look forward to. It's a lot of hard work. And if you already are a hard worker, why would you want a second job, Raquel?
Well, then
I mean,
sometimes
offers.
you're thinking like, I don't have any time left to do the work that I need to do. But then I know that that's a skewed
All
way
right.
of
So,
looking at it.
no. That's what we need to figure out because that's the exact problem. I already have a full plate, and you're asking me to put more on my plate. I don't have the time to do the work. Tell me what you think has to happen, and let's figure out this is what Raquel thinks she needs to be doing, and this is how much time it's going to take, and these are the things that are going to suffer and have to be given up to do it. So let's just do that. This will be really good for you, okay? So let's start. Let me write that down. Somebody is really good in the chat. What all did I just say? We're going to start with
You said
what
the
you
time, like, what do I think the time will be, or something? What I, yeah.
what the work is, how much time each thing is going to take you, what suffers, and what has to be dropped. Let's figure out your brain first, because it won't help me to basically, I mean, you could go watch Four Basics right now. I've already told you, you don't have to want to do this. You already know you want to do it. And for some reason, the Four Basics right now are not cutting through this picture you have. So let's start with, in your mind, if you wanted to lose weight, what is the work? What is that going to look like in a day?
The two areas that I feel like I need to work on are stopping at enough and not eating when I'm not hungry, or only eating when I'm hungry, because those are the two things that I feel like I struggle the most with.
Okay, now that's two things you've got to do, but what is the work involved? In order for you to stop it enough, what has to, like, what is it that's got to happen? Just tell me what has to happen.
Not eating 4 bags of chips during the day at work when I am stressed.
No chips at work. Okay. And if you were to stop eating chips when you're stressed at work, what's going to happen?
I don't know if I'm able to handle the amount of work and stress that I have without the food, because it seems like that is how I can function. I don't know, but there's a tie into the amount of stress and the amount of work and having something like while I'm doing a stressful task, the eating. Somehow those are very connected for me. Also, when I come home at night, just the amount of work and things, it's like I'm so tired that I just don't want to think about listening to my stomach and think about, am I hungry? I just want to eat and put the TV on and just like numb out. And so I know that those are areas. And I feel
So,
like that takes time and effort and intention. And that's where it just becomes overwhelming for me.
yeah. How much have you been to ask coaches in the 4 years, 5 years, almost 6 years you've been here? How many times have you been to ask coaches to talk about why you get so stressed at work?
Well, it's so funny that you asked that question, because the reason I'm able to be on this call today is because we had a snowstorm and I could get on the call because I asked coaches yesterday and I had literally looked back at, and it's been, I think I've done 3 times and the last time was a year ago. So it's so interesting that you asked that question because I'm not even taking advantage of the resources that we have.
Okay. One thing I'm just going to pull out real quick is you are not going to be able to give up chips at all until you work on why you're so stressed at work. You think the chips are making you accomplish stuff. The chips are just making your brain shut up long enough for you to accomplish things. That's all that's happening. And there is a way to make your brain shut up that has nothing to do with chips. But we have to like dig into What is it that you, when you are at work and you have your tasks, why are you not talking to yourself like, I can handle this? How many times have you been fired in the last 6 years? Written up. How many written write-ups have you had? And how many times have you not finished things when you were stressed at work?
There's, well, at work, I mean, I then work 80 hours in the week to get everything done. Like, I don't
Right. So
let
you
that
get
go.
it. So zero. You might not like working 80 hours a week, but like the question was, how many times do you actually work 80 hours a week at the job? Have you ever clocked
So,
it?
for, I'm sorry, for this, we had a huge project, and yes, I did, but I do
Okay.
average about 60 hours a week.
60 is all right. That's fine. I think you've got to work on whatever's going on in your head because right now you have what we call fake stressful thoughts about your job. Tell me how I know this. How do I know that the stress you've got at your job, I would bet 80% of it has nothing to do with the job. 80% of it's you, 20% of it's them.
I mean, I do put the pressure on myself that, I mean, I don't have someone micromanaging me to, I do put that pressure on myself, I guess, because I want to be a good problem solver and I want to help and I want to do this and I want to be a good leader and I want to manage my departments and I want to make sure that are successful. So I think I maybe
So
put too
you,
much
in your
pressure.
mind, the only way for all of that to happen is if you are a micromanaged, pressure-filled person, that you couldn't just be all of those things because you are someone who knows how to do the job.
Yes, I yeah, there's just always an underlying that I don't I struggle with how well I do my job, and so I feel there's a constant like feeling of not doing it well, and so there's
Well, let me ask you
okay,
this
I'm
though. Where is all of the evidence? Like, tell me specifically the feedback you're receiving from your employer that you need to worry about the quality of your work.
So there is no evidence. There is no evidence.
Okay. All I want you to do for the next few weeks is every time you eat a bag of chips, I want you to say, I'm going to eat these chips because there's zero evidence at this job that I should be this anxious. And then I want you to eat the chips. I do not want you to eat the chips from this mindset anymore. If I don't eat these chips, I can't get this done. Now we're going to eat the chips with what we call the truth and not a bald-faced lie. You have been lying. Lying. I'm gonna
It
say
doesn't feel that way, though.
it doesn't because you've said it 1,000 times in a month and ate a bag of chips to tie a bow around it. Like, see? Like, your brain does not want to let this go. Your brain is like, fuck. Like, we get chips 4 times a day. Don't listen to Corinne. She wants you to work from confidence. She is an idiot. We only, because your brain only knows right now to work from pressure. It even wants you to diet from pressure. It wants you to lose weight from pressure. It wants you to work from pressure. It wants you to go home and perform from pressure until you have to numb out. It's like that is all that's happening. And
It's
losing
so
weight doesn't
much.
fix that. Go ahead.
I'm
You tell
sorry.
me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you know, finish. I want to hear it.
No, I was like, but it's pausing. I mean, I pausing and making that statement and all of that, like it feels like that is more pressure being added. Like I'm just trying to be like honest that it's
Let me
just
ask
like
you
if I
this.
can just
I
grab the
understand.
chips and eat.
Right, you can do that. But I just want you to see you're not reducing pressure. You think you are, but you're on a call with me telling me about how fucking pressured your life is. Are you really telling me that if for 4 weeks You continue to eat chips. And the only difference is you tell yourself the truth instead of a lie, that has now tipped you over the edge. You can't function in your life anymore. All the balls are going to drop now.
Right.
Or is it like, I either got to fucking take a step forward or I need to quit thinking I want to lose weight and just enjoy the fruits of being an OBS. Just have fun while I'm here. Because you can do that. A lot of people do. Nobody says you have to lose weight.
That's
No
not
one.
what I want.
Oh, so it's not a want to issue again.
See?
So we're not going to solve the wrong problem. That is the
Mm-hmm.
most important thing you have said today is my problem is not wanting this. My problem is thinking that the only way for me to show up in life and get things done is if I'm not pressured and micromanaging myself, nothing will happen. I'll get in trouble. It's not safe. But you're also at a, go ahead. What were you going to say?
That you just hit something. I think that's where it's the safety thing, is that somehow the chips or the whatever food, pizza, whatever, it somehow creates some safety for me in a world where I feel very responsible and hyper responsible, and just so much that I think I put on my shoulders. So there is that
Yes.
safety thing, and somehow the food creates safety for me. It creates a barrier or something, and then it's just like working against myself because I have this desire. I don't feel good. I don't look good. I want to feel better. I want to move better. So there's this want, there's that desire, but then there's this other part of me, and so they just fight against each other. When you said that safety, that just really.
Food does create safety. That is why we use it. What I want you to see is that I think you're just coming to a point in your life where you're realizing you want a new way to feel safe. You want to lose weight so bad, you're actually tired of food being the safety net. But that doesn't mean that when we're tired of food being the safety net, that we aren't afraid to let it go. This is a very extreme example, but we've seen it in movies. Some of us have known people in real life and stuff. It is no different than when a woman is married to someone who abuses them. They know they shouldn't be beat. They know they should probably leave, that it can't be good for them. But when it's time to go, they're terrified of what life will be at without it. To them, this is normal for them. Even if it's terrible for them, our brains create, we're like a snow globe. You're living in, all of us have our own little snow globe, and we've created a little village in there and a little scenario and an environment. And it's hard for us to know that there are other snow globes we could go live in. To us, this is reality. And so, it is safe for you now. This is why I just really think it would be really important for you. I know this is going to take some time, but probably like 20 minutes of your week is all I'm asking. I don't want you focusing on enough, and I don't want you focusing on hunger. I don't want you focusing on those things. I want you to literally focus on, I need to use Ask Coaches to work on the relationship with putting pressure on myself. Because when people put a lot of pressure on themselves, you feel like if you let that go, then everything that you love and whatever will fall apart with it. Because you've only ever known how to make it all work that way. But just because it's the only way you know, it doesn't mean it's the only way. And so we have to get a new way. It's just like if you and I have only ever driven on the right-hand side of the road, right? I mean, that's just the way we drive here. Now, if you and I had to go to Europe and drive on the other side of the road, it would feel weird. It would feel unsafe. We'd be scared to death. We'd be hypervigilant. We'd be like, why the fuck did they don't just drive on the right side of the road? I mean, we would just be bitch, 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 bitch. Until we were there a few weeks and we got used to it. Then we would see, oh, you can drive on the other side of the road. There's a whole new way to drive. It's actually okay. Sometimes it's even better. Like, that's what ha it's that's a simple explanation, but it's also very similar. There are other ways for you to operate that don't require you to numb out, to eat chips to get it done, to put undue pressure on yourself. Just like when we just took a simple look at your job without me going into the gory details. No one at your job thinks you're doing a bad one except for you.
Yeah.
And that's where we
So
start. It's
lots of
like,
thoughts going on in there.
yeah, exactly. And so if you work on that, now I just want you to picture yourself. Let's say that in 6 months, you've been using Ask Coaches regularly to just work on the pressure you're putting on yourself, only at your job, not even at home yet. And in 6 months from now, when you're working, the inside of your brain sounded more like, I'll get this done. I always get my work done. I just don't feel like doing this right now, but I always get my work done. I actually do it pretty well. And you start noticing compliments from, because one thing that always happens is that when you have a shitty mindset about yourself, you're usually getting 50 to 75% more compliments, good jobs, pats on the back, subtle signs that people really respect you than you ever see. Because your brain is too focused on the noise. And our brains are wired to filter out anything that doesn't match our internal narrative. So that's why so often when I'm coaching women like you, and y'all come in here and talking about like your job, and I'm like, well, goddamn, tell me about your last review. Was it just like you're on a 90-day improvement plan and I'm in bitch, you might not even make it that long. And nobody, and they're like, no, I actually got a raise and a promotion recently. And it's like when your brain really believes these negative thoughts, its job is to filter out positive things. Its job is to not celebrate anything you finish. It is to be like, okay, you barely got that done, and you probably got it done substandard, but let's move on to the next thing. So we have to
Absolutely.
rewrite. If you want to lose weight, I promise you the path is not through working, like doing the work. The path is through rewiring what's happening in your head, and let's turn it way down to where we can turn down the volume of negativity. And then once we get that turned down, then we can start turning up the volume of positivity. If that happened, what do you think would be, what do you think your life would look like in 6 months from now?
I mean, even just hearing you talk about it, like I feel like my shoulders have gone down a little bit. Like, oh my goodness, like that is true. Like, what is actually true? What is real? Because I know that I need to develop a better balance at work. I think it was just became easier to deal with the stuff at work than to maybe work on, what my thoughts are in my head, because it was something I could check off and something I could do. And so that seems much more doable to have dialogue on Ask Coaches, to not focus so much on the hunger and fullness, but like, okay, if I have those moments at work where I am stressed, like, all right, take just 10 seconds and I'll obviously listen back to this call, but what you said at the beginning and do that. So it feels much more doable. There's also that part of me that's like, how do I turn the pressure down at work? And that's obviously something that I'll unpack, but
That's easy.
it's
Every
okay.
single time you feel pressure, first of all, do you know what pressure feels like in your body?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay, what is it? Tell me about that.
Oh, it's tightness in my shoulders, it's tightness in my chest, it's pressure in my head. It's all right there. Yeah. It's
The first
heart,
thing I would do
just heaviness.
is do you feel like you said safety is important to you? and you don't want to feel like you're having to do work. So the first thing I would do is reset your nervous system in that moment. So get really good at noticing when you're feeling all of that. It's real hard to outthink stress until you've taking the temperature down, and resetting your nervous system literally takes almost no time. I was reading something yesterday where there's these two parts right behind your ear. They're like, well, y'all can't see because of my hair. It's like right here. You just massage it in a circle and you do it for like 1 minute. It's a point on your body that actually helps lower stress. So you take like 1 minute to just massage, even if you're reading your email, even if you're looking at your task list to figure out like what you're going to start with first, doing something like that. They also say that anxiety disruptors, I was reading a book about this. It's you can disrupt the anxiety pattern in a body when you do unexpected movement in the body. So I don't know if you work where you can just jump up and down, but sometimes,
At some point I could.
okay, the act of just like jumping up and down, or even like I watch my son, you know, Logan has anxiety. He also has autism and stuff. And I can always tell, like, and sometimes anxiety masks as also excitement. So anytime that child, I can tell when he's really anxious or he's really excited, he does this so much so I've always told him, like, I don't know how you don't, I always think he's going to dislocate his shoulder because he's going so hard with it. You don't have to go as, you know, Logan style, but like shaking out your hands, it's an unexpected movement pattern. Anything like that. The reason why I invite you to do that is because you said something that I think would be really helpful for you is if you can disrupt your anxiety in a like just and then take like a couple of deep breaths when you feel the pressure, then to ask yourself, what is true right now? Because you said that. I didn't say that. And that is your inner wisdom saying, I know what I'm thinking isn't true. It just feels true. It feels dangerous right now. It like in anything that feels scary or dangerous or brings up fear in us, your mind's job is to treat it as if it's absolutely real because it never knows, your brain never knows when your life depends on it. So it treats all problems as equally as you being trapped in a house that's on fire. I mean, it literally treats like you could get a glance from your boss as he walks by your office and he just kind of does this. Your brain will treat it like, see, we must be dropping the ball on everything, you know, and your brain is like, there's a fire. And then if you're actually in a fire, you feel the same way. It's like, oh my God, I should get out of here, you know? So it's just really important. And I think your start is like when you said like how it is literally to know when the pressure is on you and to somehow take your temperature down a little. Right now you're going to the chips. So where do you keep the chips?
In my office,
Okay, that's
right,
fine.
yeah.
All right,
Very
let's put
easy.
them somewhere. Like, is there a place in your office you could put them to where you would be forced to get up instead of just casually reach over? Could you keep them in your car? In the trunk?
Maybe I'll get to that point. That would be quite a walk and outside. So I definitely wouldn't. I'd probably go to the cafeteria and buy chips before I would actually go and.
That would be way better. I would rather you go to the cafeteria and buy. What I would rather you do with the chips is to put them in a location that you can't just grab it. That's the whole point. So, like, if you had to get up and walk your ass to the cafeteria, even if you would go there, the entire walk, you would be moving your body instead of just sitting there eating chips. So even if you were physically going to it, eventually what would end up happening is you would be walking there and your brain would probably start going like, I know you really want to lose weight. I mean, come on now. What are we doing? Like, I mean, shit. And you'd be like, no, I'm too stressed. I need pressure, fire, pressure. And then while you're walking though, that's when you can actually have the conversation about what's true right now. What's true is I want chips because I feel this. What's true right now is I'm telling myself these things, but also here's reality. This is also true. I would much rather you have a truth walk than to just grab and stuff.
I love that. A truth walk. Oh my goodness. I love that. I might have to take some truth walks. All right. Time to take a truth walk. I love that.
Yeah, it's just a, like literally when, like, I just want you to think about this. In your mind, in order for you to lose weight, you're gonna have to like white knuckle. You're gonna have to just stop it enough. You're gonna have to just wait for hunger, even if you feel like ass. Like in your mind, you have created a pressure-filled situation to lose weight. You already have a pressure-filled life. No one will want to do that. You will want to lose weight, but you've not created a way for your weight loss to be something, the process to be desired. Now, when we say we're going to take a truth walk, that's how we're going to lose weight. We're going to start that for the next month. All our job to is right now is to make chips harder to access so that as we're walking our happy ass to go get them, I have to tell myself the truth. And I still can have the chips. I'm just practicing getting better at understanding why I want them. I'm getting better at understanding what they do for me, but also what they're not doing for me. And they're not just making you gain weight. What they're not doing for you is allowing you to turn the temperature down on yourself. They're not allowing you to build a good relationship with yourself. They are making the moment better. They are creating some safety from you, not from your boss, not from your job. They're literally putting up the buffer between how you talk to yourself. And the chips are like, I am here for you because you're not. So if we make the chips further away, this gives us the opportunity. When you said, I need a bridge, that walk, that truth walk is like going over the bridge to where I'm going to learn how to talk differently to myself. And eventually, when I do that, I won't need chips. It won't feel like work giving them up. It'll feel like the right thing to do for me. It'll feel like a loving thing to do for me. It'll feel like what I want to do now. From like true want, because I see I want this better relationship with myself so bad that now I'm going to be working on that. And that doesn't feel like putting things on your plate anymore. It actually starts removing. I bet your plate is not nearly as full as you think. There's probably a few things on the plate, and filling in the gaps is a lot of pressure gravy. It's just like, I'm just pouring gravy all over it.
It's true, because then there's a day like Friday where I got things done at work and actually left at a normal time, and I had this thought of, okay, what do I do now? Wait a minute. It's a very strange thing, because it's like go, 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 go. And then when there's actually a release or some time, then it becomes an issue of, oh my gosh, well, what should I be doing? And where's my to-do list? I have to fill this time. Oh my word. And so it's just that constant pressure. So I love that image and the physical of just movement and taking a walk and kind of releasing it. It's almost like it's a pressure cooker or something. Like,
Yeah.
that's what the chips, I think, have done in the past. It's just like turns it down a little bit so that I can keep going.
Yeah. It's just letting off some steam every single time so that you can keep, you know, it's like at some point you got to realize your roast beef is done. You don't have to keep cooking it. And you're just like, no more time. And this is a very common phenomenon. People who get very accustomed to working on pr working with pressure, like pressure is the way that you do it, tend to not have the skill of downtime. Like, why would you? You don't know how to operate in that time. Your brain absolutely thinks something's going wrong because if your whole story is, unless I'm working, unless I'm doing, unless I'm blah, 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 everything's going to fall apart or that's how I'm seen as like a good employee, a hard worker, and everything. You know, then your definition of downtime is dangerous. And so your brain freaks out when that happens. I've had to learn that a lot. I definitely was a, I was, in fact, I was getting myself, I was coaching on myself this morning about it. I have been doing like a lot of work on these things called like your inner parts, essentially. And we have like all these, I don't know. I had an aunt one time. She made me these hand crocheted beautiful dolls, and they were there was like 15 of them, and they all were, they weren't exactly Strawberry Shortcake and her friends, but they all had like fruits and stuff like that. Well, anyway, there was a crowd of them, and I had like a little corner shelf, and they would always be looking at me, and I used to play with them, and I think of them as like they're inside me. There's like all these little dolls that represent different things, and they live inside of me. And each one of them has a voice and a fear and desires of her own. And she thinks she's helping me in this way, and but she's also harming me in this way, and she doesn't know it. And so one of mine is the responsible eldest daughter, where the when I grew up, I was the oldest. We were really poor, like a lot of responsibility fell on my shoulders, like, you know. Was babysitting my brother at the age of five by ourselves, you know, just, you know, just terrible things, right? That my mom had no choice in the matter. And then I have an achiever in me also. And the achiever in me, she wants me to be number one. She wants me to be the best. She wants me to do all these things because she was so bullied in school and passed up on everything and stuff that she developed when she started getting good at things and saw that she could be well liked and well whatever. All of a sudden, achievement became you have to have it, or you're just a big fat loser that nobody likes, loves, or whatever, and you'll live a, you know, homeless life. Like, I mean, that was like in my mind, there was two, there's only two paths. And so I've had to really work on that and understand when one of those inner parts is talking and just needing me to say, you know, we don't have to work under all that pressure anymore. Like, there was a time in life that was absolutely needed, and that absolutely did like create safety. Like, it did work. It just doesn't work now, not in the new way. And now that I've learned that you can talk to yourself any way you really want to, as long as you're willing to practice it. As long as you're willing to like keep doing it, even when it feels fake and not real. Once I learned that, it was a lot easier for me to start identifying which parts need attention and how to talk to them. You don't have to know your parts in order for this to work. What we did today works just fine. But if you ever are interested in any of that and you just want to read some books or listen to some books, The Holistic Psychiatrist. She is Dr. Nicole. I think it's in my fave store. All of her books are in there. She does a lot of work on this stuff, like on reparenting yourself and different things like that. But just be thinking about the next month. This is more about like your weight loss isn't going to happen because you work hard. It's just not. Nobody loses weight because they're the hardest worker in the room. They don't keep it off that way. The people who lose weight, they figure out what's easy for them and they figure out where they need more ease in their life and they give it to them themselves. And they love the process. They find that, like, the things that they're doing, they actually like it because it's making sense for them. Because they see how it helps them. They see how it takes care of them. They see how it nurtures them. Those are the people I see who lose weight and keep it off. Because if you really love what you do to lose weight, you have zero reason to give it up at the end.
That just really, all of what you were saying about the parts and actually approaching it from a place of love. And I know you've said that so many times and in so many ways, but it's really, really resonating right now because yeah, like as you were talking about that, it was like, yeah, okay, I can make that work. Wow, that I am excited about that. Let me approach it a little bit differently because it was feeling like I have to stop eating when I'm full. I have to wait for hunger. I have to like it, that was some of the stuff that was replaying in my mind. And the four basics, I mean, those are great, and it does. I mean, you do need to listen to your body, but I think I was just twisting it to mean something that was the work that I had to do. instead of maybe peeling back the layers a little bit. And also recognizing those parts, like when you were saying the hyper responsible. Yep, totally me. Took care of my mom. I have a younger sister with a disability. Totally, that is me. And then the same thing of this achiever and wanting to prove, like I feel like I'm so blessed to have the job I have. I make a very good living. I make, I feel sometimes guilty, like my parents didn't have that. Like there's all of these things going on, like this achiever, like I have to prove that I'm worth the position that I'm in, and all of those things that I think then contribute to eating to maybe numb out because I put all that pressure on myself. But so that did help, and I will definitely check out the resource that you talked about because I think separating that and also maybe recognizing that those are good things. Like the achiever in me, I was the first one to go to college in both sides of my family. That's a huge thing. Like that's a great thing. And I don't always look at it that way. I look at it sometimes as, oh my gosh, this is so much pressure. Like, wow, like do you really earn this? Are you look at all the respect and instead of just recognizing like that was a great thing. God put that desire in me to go to school and have the knowledge to do that. So I don't look at it differently,
Yeah, you've got a lot of good stuff to work on, like feeling guilty for success, versus feeling proud that, like for me, I've never felt guilty over my success, but I've always had the thought of my responsible older daughter took over. That's why I don't think she ever felt like success guilt. I feel like more like pressure to stay successful because I take care of everyone. So that's
Oh,
kind of
yeah,
where
love
mine
that.
comes in. But I never felt guilty. I always felt like, thank God, I finally broke the curse. I finally am the one. Hopefully I change. Like I look at my niece in particular, who, she did go to college. I didn't go to college. And
But you're gonna
watching
go, right? You're gonna go.
I don't know. We tried last year with UT and we could not get it going. And I honestly, I have done so much work this year on feeling dumb and feeling like I don't know. Chris said something to me one day. He was like, if you want to go back to school, I highly support it. He was like, but go back to school and do something that you really enjoy. And because I just wanted to go back to school and just do something that literally, like, well, it'll help me with business and whatnot. And I couldn't think of anything that I would just legit enjoy. But I told him, I said, I might feel different like when I'm 60 or 70. Maybe that's when I'm supposed to go. Like right now, but he said something to me one day. He said, well, I'm just glad to hear you say that. He said, because like he's been to school and my niece has gone to school and I've talked to several people who have gone to school and they always say, I don't know anyone that has probably studied more than you have in the last 20 years. I literally had a friend of mine who she went on to like a master's and all kinds of stuff. She said, Corinne, you could have done school 10 times. You could have had 10 degrees by now. She's like, you are
Right.
very well educated.
Right. And it's
But
sometimes just a piece of paper. Like you're right. You've had the different education.
yeah, but for you though, to be thinking about, you do have these different voices, and at one time, they all get formed. Every one of our inner parts, they get formed for really good reasons. And they help us navigate situations. And that's why we spend the rest of our life kind of not questioning them. They just feel like it's just who I am, and it's just the way the world works. It's like the way the world works for me in particular. And you really, when you start questioning all of it, you just get a better life out of it. And like for me, I know, like I have worked so hard on this last year of knowing what is good pressure and what is not good pressure for me. Like understanding the difference. Like for me, good pressure is I know that when I have something that's kind of scary and I need to get it done and I'm just kind of worked up about it, good pressure for me is, all right, I am just setting a deadline and I'm giving it to my team to say. Like when I declare it publicly, that's good pressure for me because I know like somehow it tripwires in my mind the deadline is more important than your fears and worries. And so then it just starts getting so focused on getting it done. And it doesn't think about, like, well, what if they don't like it? And blah, 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 the things that I go through. And bad pressure, though, is when I'm telling myself, I'm going to let people down if I don't do this. This probably won't work, but you've got to try it anyway. Like when I am talking to myself like that, I've become really good at noticing when I am applying negative pressure and the difference between that and my positive pressures that I use. And that's me using my achiever and retraining the achiever in me to be like, we're going to be more about positive pressure and we're going to just get really good at noticing when we fall into the negative pressure. Because you just, I mean, the big thing I can tell you, Raquel, is you never get rid of your parts and your old patterns never really go away. You just get so good at recognizing them and you get really good at pivoting before they take over. Even if they've taken over for a little bit, you get really good at getting back on track. Like you form the habit of getting back on track with a different way. Like you just become a better navigator, but it's kind of like a GPS is. You've got where you want to be at the end of your life, and there's no one road to get there. And all the way there until the end of your life is problems, obstacles, shit, like whatever. But the people who end up living the life they really want have an amazing GPS that knows how to reroute them when they come up on obstacles. Or if if you're driving down the road and all of a sudden there's an accident and your GPS couldn't steer you away from it, but it can tell you how to get around it, even if you're in the middle of it. Like that's what you get better at. Just the recalculating. It's not you get so good at knowing everything that you never have to deal with that again. Okay.
Well, and even just reframing when you were talking about the pressure, that pressure can be good. Like you can look at that in a way, but yeah, I think I've always framed it as so much on me and I'm so hyper with all of that, but you're right, it can be different. So many great ways to just kind of look at things differently. So thank you.
Also, so there's three things I want you to use as coaches for over the next couple months. And you don't have to do them all at once, but just as time goes, is this one about how you're talking to yourself at work? Just, what's going on there that what are the stories you tell yourself at work that are setting you up to where when you get home, you're so emotionally drained, you just need to numb out. The other thing I was wanting you to work on though, eventually is sometimes, and you said something earlier about feeling guilty. And then you also said something about, I don't know what to do with myself when I don't have anything to do. A lot of nighttime eating and that wanting to check out at night can come from, and you just want to ask yourself, is it that I want to numb out because I'm actually tired from the day and or, because it could be both, when I allow myself to do nothing, I have such a big loaded story about it being lazy. I should be doing other things. This feels so weird, blah, 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 that I'm eating to escape that. That was me for a long time. It was even after I'd lost my weight, I went through a period where I was just eating at night because the business got to where I had enough people finally to help me where I did not have to work until 10 o'clock every night. But I didn't know how to not work until 10 o'clock every night. And so I noticed I was eating at night again. And it wasn't because I was so tired from the day. Sometimes it was. I mean, I work really hard. But the real, when I really got down to it was like, my motherfucking ass don't know how to sit down and do nothing without it being a problem. Like I'm just sitting there watching TV going like, well, here I am being lazy and probably somebody else is working right now and I could be doing this and I probably should spend time with that person. And when that was happening, it was like, well, no wonder I want to eat. So that's another level for you to look at is what goes on for me at night. If I was really going to just be like, you know what? I'm already like, I'm checking out with food every night. Can I just check out and not have to eat? I mean, if that's what you really want is to just numb and do nothing, it's like, okay, what if we just didn't eat? Then what comes up for you? Because if it's a lot of pressure to go do something, no wonder you're eating. So it may or may not be, I'm so worn out through the day Because what will you might find happening is you reduce your stress through the day, you actually come home feeling better. But the moment you sit down to do nothing, you're just like freaking out because you should be doing something else. So it won't necessarily always fix that. So you want to look at that. I think that was the two, just those two things. That's the two that I would, oh, and feeling guilty about being successful because there's no need. And you want to work on that. Because I would bet you the people in your life wouldn't want you to feel guilty. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you
You're
so
welcome.
much. All
All
right.
righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oops. Hang on. I'll get you. There we go. Mary? Catherine? All right. While she's coming up, let me answer these two questions. I got to look over here, though. Question about water. I have several bottles of all different ounces. I've been noticing my bottle that says 24 ounces seems to only hold 16. If I pour a 16.9 ounce bottle in it, it goes to the top. Question is, do we not worry so much about that? Like, just go with the bottle that says 24 and not worry. No, you need to, I don't know that you need to worry, but it just your bottle is wrong. If you're only getting 16 ounces, you want to know that. But there's probably tons of bottles that don't match. It's just like, that's why I always tell y'all, counting calories is pointless. Almost every label where they have calculated the calories is off. If you go to a restaurant and they tell you, any restaurant that's going to tell you this is 500 calories, just assume it's seven. Like, it's just all of that stuff is so, that's why I'm like, I don't even know why we bother with a lot of that shit because it's also wrong. It's also wrong. We're just, trying to lose weight on all this math that isn't even built on actual math. It's just like, psh. So yeah, you do want to just say, like, all right, if I'm pouring this, just know that your bottle is now 16 ounces. It's not 20. And that's what the way I would count it. I struggle with deciding whether something is restrictive or a coping strategy. Would requiring myself to write in a journal for 5 minutes before eating when not hungry be too restrictive or a good idea? ADHD for me means a few deep breaths or just thinking about why I want to eat gets sped through and I'm eating again so fast. That's a lot in that one question, Carly. The first thing is the way that we decide whether something is restrictive or not is how we're thinking about it. That's literally the only thing that, like, I could eat broccoli and you could eat broccoli at a meal, and one of us could be thrilled that we're going to shit with glory the next day, and one of us could feel like we didn't get to eat French fries. So, like, it really doesn't, like, we try to make like restriction be about things. It's literally about how you're talking about it. So, if like you want to sit down and say, like, I'm going to require myself to write in a journal for 5 minutes, that's not restrictive, nor is it a coping mechanism, nor is it a good thing. If your fact is from now on, I will be writing in my journal for 5 minutes, blah, 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 then you need to, like, and I think what about that? Some people would think that's a really good idea. It might be hard for me to get used to it, but I could see the benefits. Not restrictive at all. Another person could be like, that is some bullshit. It will never work, blah, blah, blah. That's going to feel awful. So the act itself is not a big thing. It's all about how you talk about it. So if you're going to require yourself to do something before, like if I'm going to write in a journal before I end up eating something, or I'm going to go on a truth walk before I end up eating my chips, we got to have a damn good reason for why we're doing it. And it needs to make a lot of sense to us, and it needs to feel good to us. Like, I could see why this is beneficial because if I do this, boom, here's all my reasons that make good sense to me and feel good to me. You do that, then it's a lot easier to do those things in the moment. And what I mean by that is sometimes you'll just want to, sometimes you won't want to, but it's easy to talk yourself into it because you have a solid reason behind it. And then sometimes it'll just be like you're just kind of going through the day and you don't even realize you didn't do it. But as long as you have a really good reason, then you can talk easily to yourself after, like, oh, I forgot that I'm becoming someone that is going to journal before they eat. I forgot that I'm someone who is going to walk to get my chips. Let me go ahead and move those right now. It's never too late to be nice to yourself and have a good reason why. Okay, Mary Catherine. And now it's you.
Yay.
All right. What you got? What do you want help with?
Gosh, where does one begin?
I can tell you where to begin. Go ahead.
I struggle with making sure that I'm putting myself first in a lot of things. My pleasing person, my older sister, all of those kind of things kind of step in, and I have a hard time stepping out and going, okay, this is where you are. This is where you need to be thinking about what you need to do and where you need to go with your life.
Okay.
I've
Do
got a
you have
lot
like
of
a
things.
really specific situation you can describe where you know you struggled to put yourself first that we could talk through? And it's recent.
I can, but they kind of hit nerves. because it's always family related. We
Why do
just
you
rec
not want to work on that?
because it's just a hard thing for me, family wise. Because I've been the one that kind of fits in with everybody. Whatever I'm around, I kind of fit in the situation. And whether it's something I want to do or don't want to do it, it's always I'm going along.
And do you want to change that, or do you want to keep doing that? You don't have to change that.
There are times when I want to,
Okay.
and there are times where I'm like, this is who you are. This is the person that you are. And it's okay because it keeps everybody together and everybody happy.
Okay, I will just tell you. That is a beautiful reason. You don't need to feel bad about that reason. Like, there's a lot of things, even in my own family. Some people will tell you, you need to put yourself first and, you shouldn't be a people pleaser and blah, 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 blah. The only time you have to change those things is when you want to. Well, literally, that's the only time. Is if for some reason you were finding, I really do want to change this because even though it keeps the peace and even though it does this, now these unintended consequences are so miserable. They now outweigh the peace. It now outweighs the harmony. It outweighs whatever I used to think was the most important thing. So in that case, we want to change. But there's a lot of people that do not mind. They're like, you know what? There's bigger fish to fry in my life. I'm going to just go along with them. I'm not really self-sacrificing that much. In fact, it would be worse on me to row my own boat over here because of how they all would react. And that happens in my own family. I have areas in my life where I'm a total people pleaser because I'm just like, it's not worth my mental time. It's not worth my energy. It's not worth any of it. It's a lot easier to just go along with that and then move on with my life. So we just have to decide, like, what do you want to work on today? Because we do not have to work on the family if you're just like, no, in that area, I do not mind putting them first because of these things. Or, no, I think I need to work on that, Cram, because after you say all that shit, I'm just like, well, I don't want to keep doing that. Like, I thought I did, but I'm afraid of changing it, but it's not that I don't want to. Or there's other areas of your life where you struggle to put yourself first. You're like, I'd rather tackle those first. Let's just leave the family the way it is. I'll work on other areas because it's all up to you.
Yeah, I think I'll leave that. Put
Okay.
that
Which
aside.
one? Okay, good. So where would you like to work? Where, like, what is it that you really would like to work on? If you could sum it up in one sentence, it would be what? I was really pleased and excited about the organization thing that we did last week. I have got a lot of organizational things that need to be worked on. And I it's time consuming. It's head space too. My daughter is a, if you haven't used it, throw it out. If you haven't used it, throw it out. And I'm like, but it came from my mom. It's something I bought for a specific purpose. And I wanted this for whatever.
Why is that a problem, though?
Because we now have three people in my house instead of two. It was just my daughter and I. She had a little boy last year. And the room that we were going to use for an office turned into his room. And the things that were going in the office are now in my bedroom. And
Okay.
my
And
bedroom
do
is
you?
feeling very crowded.
Okay.
And I know
And
that when you're in a crowded space, it messes up your brain because then you're all get all claustrophobic and
well, wait a minute.
I need to get out of that.
It can be. Do you feel that way, though, for
Yes.
you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure there's a difference between what you've read and what you actually feel. Like, I have
No,
read
I actually have been feeling this is,
too much.
yeah, too much.
Okay. So, what stops you from going through and just getting rid of things that are easy for you to get rid of instead of the hard things?
I can't determine what's the easy. I mean,
Well, just are you in your bedroom now? I know we can't
yes.
see it. Okay.
Yes.
Just take a look around with me right now. Can you find one thing in your bedroom that you're like, well, I mean, I could probably put that in the trash.
I'm looking specifically at some things and I'm going, okay, they need to find a better home. They need to not be where they are, like a
Okay.
broom, like a little hand broom and dustpan that really needs to be out of my room, and a diffuser that needs to go in its box and be put in its place.
Okay, so let's just take those two things. Does the duster and the broom have a home?
Yes.
Okay. How long would it take you to get up and go put it away right now on the call?
Not very long.
Go do it, and I
All
will
right.
wait.
All right.
Now while she's doing that, the reason why we're doing this is her brain needs evidence that she can start small and she does not have to start with things that are sentimental. Like, it took her literally a few seconds for her to look around her room and be like, well, that doesn't belong here. And instead of thinking, well, if I do that, now I got to go do all the things, blah, 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 blah. It's like we're just breaking the pattern. That's all I'm doing. And you can use this a lot just in your life in general. This is what we call the not good enough strategy. In her mind, to be organized, that whole room's got to get done. There's a thousand things that need to be done. And when her brain spots one thing, it probably triggers some subtle thought of it not being good enough. But if every day she just walked into her bedroom and put one thing away where it belongs, she probably would feel a lot better within, I don't know what, 14 days. In 14 days, it'd be 14 things. So, like this morning, I did some, y'all know how I've got my shitty little countertop in my bedroom. I went through, I took all the trash off of it and threw it in the trash can. I was like, still hadn't tackled those books. Still haven't done that. Still haven't done that. And I was like, yeah, but that doesn't stop you from at least getting the trash off. All right. So, how did that go for you?
It was good.
Okay. And how long did it take?
Oh, not a few moments.
It took about a minute. I had to fill time. So I had to like literally come up with something to talk about while you were gone. All right.
Now, what if you just did that once a day for, let's say, like look around your room right now. How many items can you count that have, they just need to be in their home? They just don't need to be in your, like, there is a space for it. It's in your bedroom and it just needs to go to its rightful place.
Lots, lots of things.
Just count a few. Like, I'm gonna count silently to 20 and you count out loud how many things you find, okay? Okay. What's the number in your head right now?
40.
40. Okay. Now let's just imagine that for the next 40 days, one thing goes to its rightful home. Now I want you to look around in your room and I want you to tell me, what would that room feel like with 40 less things in it in 40 days?
Peaceful.
Okay. What if we just did that and we didn't start with things that your mother gave you and stuff that you bought for a reason and you don't have a home for it yet? And like, what if we just started with the things that you're not emotionally attached to them being in your, but being in your room, or are so emotionally loaded that it keeps you from working on the simple things that could just go back to their rightful little homes?
That's a good start.
Okay, now when we say all that, what comes up for you? We're going to spend 40 days putting one thing away at a time to see what happens.
A release. There's some release there.
Is there any negative poo-poo,
No, it's
not
stuff
good
that needs
enough,
to be no.
hesitancy, anything like that?
No, it's stuff that needs to be done.
Okay, then that's what we do. I know a lot of y'all want to just, I don't know, nail thyself to the cross. Y'all act like you're Jesus Christ and you got to like give it up for everybody's sins. But it's like, what if we just did some easy shit for a while?
The easy button sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. And it's also the idea that works. What doesn't work is thinking I should do all of this. What doesn't work is thinking that my daughter wants me to do it this way. It's like, okay, if she wants to come in there and do it all, let her. Unless you're afraid she's going to throw away great shit, and then you'll be like, look, it's my bedroom. Your opinion's noted, but not needed. And you don't even have to tell her that part. In fact, if you need to explain it, just say like, girl, I got this 40-day plan. You're not going to believe my room in 40 days. Like my organization coach gave that to me.
Sounds good.
Anything else you want help with? We got time.
No, I'm okay.
Do you
Sounds
post in the
good.
Facebook group?
Sometimes.
Won't you like every now and then check in with us and tell us what you're putting away?
Okay.
Just not for any reason other than to just reinforce with yourself that you're doing it. Because there's a lot of people that when you were gone were like, this is a great idea.
I'll have to look at the chat.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that struggle with letting go of things. My mother is one of them. My mama hangs on to things, hangs on to things, hangs on to things. My brother and I have, we've been real honest with her, kind of in a joking way, but she knows we're dead serious. My mom just keeps a lot of shit. Just like, and I know it means a lot to her, means nothing to us. We have no sentimental attachment to it whatsoever. And we always say, you can clean it out while you're alive, or we will clean it out when you're dead. But just know it's all going to the same place because it ain't coming to our houses. And she's like, no, you're going to want some of my stuff. And I look at her, I'm like, look around this house. I don't even have personal pictures in it. I'm not going to want it.
Right. No, and I understand that. That's why a lot of things we go through because we're in the same house and she'll be here after I'm gone. And but there's a lot of times I go, do you want this? Are you going to want this? No. Okay, let's just go ahead and get rid of it now. So you don't have to worry
And
about it later.
you just need to remember that if right now there's sentimental attachment to it, those, like, for all of you, I know I'm not the organization expert, but I will say this. Anything that has sentimental attachment to it is the last things you should be organizing in your house. Like, save that for the end because there's emotion in it. And you might feel like you need to get rid of it, but right now, it's bringing you some sense of joy or comfort or memory or something. That's why, like, when my mom talks about her shit, a lot of it, like, she's got this old pan that is gross. I don't even know how she eats out of it, but my granny used it, and my granny's mother used it before her. You can imagine how old this thing is now.
Oh, I'm yes.
And it there's I don't I'm sure she's not going to die from using it, so it's not that bad, but I would never cook out of it, and I will never want it. But for my mother, when she makes a little thing cornbread, it reminds her of her mother, it reminds her of her family. It's very important to her, so she should not get rid of that stuff. So I always think, like, sentimental things. Don't worry about that stuff. Worry about the things that are like, this has an obvious home, but I'm not doing anything about it because I'm so worried about all the sentimental shit that I'm anguishing over. It's like, well, then let's just keep it. Let's give ourselves permission to have it. The next layer are the things that you're like, I bought it for a purpose. That's probably the things that I would say, like, okay. Then when I get rid of all the things in my bedroom, the 40 things that have a home, now I can start looking at those. When I have, like, a peaceful environment, I can decide, all right, if I'm not using it, how, like, is it taking away from my peace or not? And if it is, then maybe at that point I will say, like, okay, maybe I can get rid of it. Or I'll be like, no, I don't want to get rid of it, even if I'm not using it right now. But it's not detracting from my peace. If that's the case, there's no sense in doing it. I think we can just make all this a lot easier on you.
Yeah. All right.
You know, we never did. You started off saying you wanted coaching on struggling with putting myself first, and then you didn't want to get coaching on it. Just making sure you leave here satisfied.
I think the organization is putting myself first. In ways too.
Okay, and how's that?
If I can get organized and is putting myself first because I'm not in here or avoiding what I need to be doing, and this is something I need to be doing.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I just don't want you leaving here feeling like, well, I wanted to get coached on this and we talked about organizing.
No, I think we did good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
your 40 days.
Oh, yes.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So it's so funny that came up because I've been working really hard the last few days. I'm doing some personal journaling. I've changed my schedule a little bit so that I can do a little bit more work on me and my mind first thing in the morning. And this morning I was talking about how I need a new daily routine. I am kind of just going through the motions of the day. Like, I work really hard, but I'm just like, I get up, I drink my coffee, I just start working, and And I just kind of come up for air when it's time to eat the next meal. Then I kind of go back down and then I rush to the gym because I need to get my workout in. And it's late in the afternoon and I'm squeezing it in because I got carried away with work all day. And I was like, I just craving structure, like for myself. And so I spent the last 3 mornings really thinking about what do I most want and what is more optimum and what's going to really help me. So after I did that, I was wanting to get my sauna blanket back out and use it a couple of days a week. I've got a infrared like PEMF chair thingy that I'm wanting to use a couple of days a week again, just some nervous system stuff. By God, I cannot find that sauna blanket. And this thing's huge, huge. And it happens to be in a big wicker bin. And I have looked all over this house for it. So we have a couple of guys that sometimes when we need things moved around and stuff, they take stuff in and out of our storage unit because we have a lot of things in storage. And I need to ask them, did I tell you to take it to storage at some point? Because I can't find it to save my life. So I would want to put all 40 things away today. What does that mean about me? It means that you want to put it away today. Means you're motivated to do it today. It means that, like, the reason why I told her to do one a day was because she was just having a really hard time, like, thinking about this. Like, it means nothing, Darlene, until you decide what it means. Literally means nothing. I think y'all are always on the hunt for everything to mean something bad about you. It's like, what does this mean? What does this mean? If I want to do it different, it's like, everybody, like, all of you. You get to do things the way that makes more sense to you. It's just like for me, I wanted to set up this one room to where it would be really easy and convenient for me to do some of these things again. So I don't just like say, I just have to work. I just have to work. I just have to work. And for me, I wanted to get it all set up today because I just want to start fresh tomorrow. Some people, their nervous systems don't work that way. For some people, it would be better to be like, well, this week I'm going to get used to using this one thing. And then next week I'll get used to using this thing. And there's even things like that in my life. Like there's sometimes I have areas in my life where layering in things one at a time, like works better for me. And then sometimes like I just need a fresh, clean start. I'll do really good. And let me tell you why that is with me. Okay. Most of the time when I've decided something, I am going to just radically change how I do things, and we're going to go. That is not because I've always been that way. What happened was, like, when I lost weight in particular, it was through slow changes over time. That was the changes were kind of matching how I was shifting my mindset. So I would do things that would work for this mindset. And then once I would do those things, that mindset would improve a little bit. It would be encouraged. It would say, like, oh, that wasn't as hard as we thought. Oh, you were wrong. You can do those things. So then, like, I had a little bit more confidence. I had some evidence that things worked. So then when I would do the next things, like, it would just kind of kept building. I have spent like probably 10 to 15 years now providing plenty of evidence to myself that when I make a decision, I actually can do the things. Because I used to believe that I would make decisions and then I would quit. My belief back then was that I was a quitter, that I couldn't do hard things, that I just had to be a hard worker, just take it in the butt. Like I didn't believe anything like I believe now. And it's not because one day I woke up and suddenly believed shit and just like, I'm a different person. That did not happen. So over time, my identity changed because I was like, I do not believe I can lose weight, but I do believe I can walk 15 minutes a day. And I'm going to have to start with that. And I'm not going to be hard on myself about it. Like, I have just got to do something for myself. I cannot keep living this way. That was my day one decision. I can't keep living this way. I also on day one knew I can't, like, living this way meant I can't keep trying to lose weight the way I've always tried to lose weight. I can't just flip on a dime. I can't just make a decision and then suddenly be a whole new person. I can't just make a decision to lose weight and be able to change all my habits, never make a mistake, never be mean to myself. Like that, just I had plenty of evidence in my lifetime that doing it that way literally did not work. But I never looked at it through that lens. I always looked at it through the lens of this is what you have to do to lose weight. And I finally looked at it through the lens of, oh my God, I have been trying to do what I thought was required to lose weight for so long that it, like, literally the formula's broken. That is not how I will lose weight because I have watched myself. I cannot do it that way. So I need a formula that works. So over the years, because I've made so many tiny decisions that I didn't think I could do in the beginning and proved myself wrong, that now when I make a decision, I don't have the identity of, oh, when you want to do things, you're always a quitter. Oh, when you want to do things, you can't just start them. Oh, when you do things, if you mess up, you're going to quit. I don't have that identity anymore because I, over the years, have proven myself wrong over and over and over again. Now, when I decide I want to change something, it's literally, I want to change this. I can see why this is going to be so much better. And my brain always says, and I'm willing to try it for 30 days to see if I'm right or wrong. And I always know that within that 30 days, any time you are like dead stopping a routine and starting another one, that there will be a lot of resistance. You'll want to do your old routine. I already know that. I know tomorrow morning I am not going to want to do my new routine. I'm going to want to do my old one. I know for the next few days, it's going to be a lot of telling myself, hey, we're going to try the new way and we're going to earn the right to decide, is the old way or the new way better? Like now I have that identity. But I tell all of you that because it took years and years of doing scary things slower than I thought I needed to. Building things like on top of each other, like looking back and showing myself, like, oh, you really can do things you set your mind to. When you're really afraid, that's literally just fear talking. That's not the truth talking. Like when I built this business, I did not think that it would be as successful as it is. Like on day one, when I decided to open my doors, I just hoped that I could find 10 or 20 women that would pay me $20 a month so that if I wanted a new pair of tights or to add something to my gym, like some dumbbells, I could buy it with my money and not Chris's. That was my big fucking hairy audacious goal. So when I started, my thought was no one was hardly going to work with me. I'll be lucky if anybody does. You don't know what you're doing. But there was a part of me is like, well, let me just try a few things and then I'll know if it's not going to work. That was day one for me. When I started running, like a lot of y'all don't know this, but I started running like well into my weight loss journey, not in the beginning. I was just so desperate to run a 5K. My first 5K took me a little over 55 minutes running. And I'd always wanted to run because my brother ran, my best friend at the time ran, my brother's brother, he was a big runner, and there was just something in me that wanted to do it. I was terrified. I didn't think I could. No one in my brother had run in sports, but not like run. No one in my family was a runner. I had to read magazines and books to figure it out. Like, I didn't think I could do it. Then, once I got started, I ran 59 half marathons. I've done four full marathons, some of which were like back-to-back ultra endurance days. I did eight Tough Mudders, which is running plus, fucking getting electrocuted in the middle of it to call kinds of crap. Something called an Arctic enema. You know how pleasant that sounds. I don't do those anymore, but I will promise you, the girl that decided to sign up for the local Y 5K and run it in 55 minutes did not think all of that was ever going to happen. I thought I was going to be lucky if I didn't die before I crossed the finish line because it was in the middle of July and I was wearing black pants and a baggy ass t-shirt because I was ashamed of how big I was. I was lucky I didn't get chafed and die out there. So I tell all of you this because when you think about like what is going to be your path, what does this say about me that I want to do it this way? Or what does it say about me that I want to do it this way? It says nothing. You will decide what it means about you. And my advice, make it mean something amazing. That's all you got to do. You will live a better life. You will get more done. The people that just do some stuff, whether it's lots of things or little things, we just end up with a better life. We don't sit on the sidelines waiting for the perfect time, waiting to be able to do it all, waiting for perfection. We just don't sit on the sidelines anymore. We just get out there and do stuff. And we see what happens because you can't predict what's going to happen. I would have never predicted my life ever. If you went back, that 17-year-old who was attempting suicide, the girl who was 21 and already divorced, the version of me that met and married Chris, the version of me that was sitting on the couch in postpartum depression, considering leaving my husband and child because I didn't know what else to do with myself. I was so miserable and trapped. The version of me who lost weight and didn't have a job and was trying to figure out how to help people. None of them could have ever anticipated this life. So you don't know what the future has for you. But don't pre-decide it based on what's happened to you in your past. My past did not say any of this was supposed to happen. But I tell you what did happen. I stopped letting the past be the decider of what was going to happen. I started thinking about what is it that I want? And that is where decisions get made from now on. What I want is what decides how I show up today. What decides today is not how I showed up yesterday or years past, because that is literally the truth of the matter. The past can't decide today. You can give it undue influence, but it can't make the decision. So if you are always the one who's deciding every single day, choose from what you want, not from what you think you're going to do simply because of what's happened in the past. The only time I use the past is when I go back and look at it to be my teacher. I used to say this to y'all all the time. So some of you older folks will like, I mean, not older as in age, but older in terms of been around a while. The past is your teacher. It's not a fortune teller. And that is the truth. It can teach you about why you're here, why you're where you're at. It can give you insights into what needs to change. It can tell you why you react the way you do. It can be very informative of things. But it doesn't dictate what's going to happen in the future. You are not destined to repeat your past. You're destined to learn from it. And if you're repeating your past, that's always a choice. At any time, your future can dictate. Your future can decide. Your future can be what you base your opinion on. Your wants and your dreams and desires can be the place you go to for counsel, advice, what you should do in this moment, how much, whatever. You can always go to the future just as easy as you can go to your past. Both are sitting on your shoulder. Just let your past be full of wisdom and let your future be your guide. All right, one last question and we'll get out of here. My husband and I are partners in a company with 80 employees. I've been working there for 32 years, so I know all the things about everything. I wear so many hats and I work all the time. When I wake up, I work. Before bed, I work. I actually think I've become addicted to it. When I overeat, it's to get away from my desk. I want to know how you do it. I work all the time too. I work a lot, but I enjoy it. I never tell myself that I'm addicted to it. I always tell myself it's just a choice. I just make sure I like my choices. I was working yet, like, all right, I'm going to say this out loud. Tennessee got their asses handed to them yesterday, and it was a really bad night. And I came home from my brother's house. I literally cried, and then I went to bed. So let's just get that out of the way. But while I was at my brother's the last 2 days watching football, I was working. I was on my laptop. I got y'all's January 4th workshop to create. Somebody's got to do this shit. But I don't ever feel bad about it. I just don't. I mean, I could if I wanted to, but I always know I'm the one choosing it. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I know these are the things that need to get done. And I have figured out how to talk to myself about it. And that's why I don't eat to, like you said, I eat to get away from my desk. If I need to get away from my desk, I can go eat or I can just get away from my desk. Like eating doesn't make it better. It doesn't sanction it. It doesn't make it morally superior. It's not even a noble excuse. A lot of times we use it as a noble excuse. I always tell myself, if I eat to not work, I just always tell myself, that's just you having a shitty relationship with taking a break. That's not anything other than I like, and when I tell myself the truth of like, oh, you have a shitty relationship with taking a break, then I know what problem to be working on. I don't need to work less. I need to get better at taking the breaks in my head. Because you are, the truth is, you're taking a fucking break, Dawn. Food is just not letting you think you should be working. Or that taking a break is bad, or that somehow bad things are going to happen. It's like we just want to work on how we talk to ourselves about it. It's like, oh, I need to make taking a break safe. If I need a mental break, I need to know why that's a good idea. I need to know why that's going to help this business. I need to know why this has nothing to do with being lazy. This has nothing to do with any of that. I need to understand that. Otherwise, I'm going to want to eat because that voice is going to make me feel bad. And if I feel bad, I'm not getting a break. And so your brain is like, oh my God, you actually do need a break. So let me give you some food. Because if you're feeling bad, you won't feel like you got a break and you won't be able to go back and do what you needed to do. So get better at taking breaks in your head of like, why are breaks helpful? Why is it that the world will not fall apart if I'm away from my desk for 10 or 20 minutes? Why is that not lazy? Like you have to explain those things to yourself over and over again so that your body can relax. It's like, oh, when we're taking a break, it's not the end of the world. We're just doing something. All right. Is that everything? All right. Y'all have a good one. If you are medical weight loss, which means surgeries, GLP-1s, any kind of medical weight loss, a doctor has put you on a very special diet due to arthritis or colon issues. All like Logan's been on a little special diet for his colon issues and whatnot. Come to that call. It'll be starting in 30 minutes, and we will get down on all of it. All right, y'all, bye.